Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome to hour two of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. All right. I'm going to have to ask our listeners to bear with us a little bit on this one, because this one's kind of tough to chew on. There's a lot of facets to this segment, but first I want to provide a couple definitions. When you hear the phrase HSRG, that's the Hatchery Science Research Group, which is backed by the WSAS, the Washington State Academy of Sciences. This is a really cool project that dumps down hatchery production to the point where it will take 500 years to rebound our salmon stocks. Okay, great. We shot these guys down, right? And by we, I mean Puget Sound anglers and a bunch of sportsmen and the tribes. And so the sportsmen and the tribes have worked together to shoot down HSRG. Well, I got news for you, gang. HSRG is back with a whole new batch of filth, disguised as bills in Olympia. And our friend Ron Garner, the Puget Sound Anglers, is going to help us walk right through this. Ron, how are you doing this morning? And welcome to the show.
Morning, Ron.
Morning, Ron.
Morning, guys. I wish we were talking about, you know, I just hooked one out blackmouth.
Dude, yeah, we all do.
I hate politics.
What's a blackmouth?
We need it. No doubt.
Yeah, anyway, so let's talk about these bills. We've got three bills in Olympia right now. Why don't you run us through these and what sportsmen should be afraid of down there, buddy?
Okay, there's actually four bills. There's a fourth one that got added, House Bill 2027.
Of course.
So I want to say one thing right up front. Why is this attack coming back at us? There's a coordinated attack.
Sure.
You guys did a really good job on your introduction on all this stuff. There's a well-coordinated attack on hunting and fishing completely across the nation by environmentalists. So people are going to have to step up if you want to be able to keep fishing and hunting. I'm going to go right into the first bill. Senate Bill 5721, what that does is it takes the commission, or WDFW commission, makes them advisory only, puts the director under the commissioner of public lands, and so now you lose, as you said, the referendum 45, you lose access to the commission and its policy setting, which also hires and fires a director. You lose that. And if you remember a while back, Jim Unsworth was removed for some of the things he did by the commission. So every 4 years, whoever's running the commissioner of public lands, or if it goes into some senatory or legislative body, WDFW is going to change with whatever the direction is of the next person. So it's going to take them 2 years to get up to speed, and then it'll run for 2 years, and then the next person could come in. And this could go under governor, too, on these other bills. So
it's going to effectively politicize everything that WDFW does to manage fish and wildlife in Washington, and it'll politicize everything.
Yeah,
and our legislators will be running the whole department. So sorry to interrupt. Keep rolling.
Yeah, go
keep
to
rolling,
the,
Ron.
Next bill, Ron.
Okay, I want to say one other thing is the commission. You hit it. It is made dysfunctional. The framework of the commission right now is not broken. The implementation process is. Okay? Senate Bill 5656. Senate now has power to fire commissioners after 1 year if they're not Senate confirmed. They are the ones doing the confirming. So if they don't like you, you come in with an agenda opposite. Well, I won't say agenda. Let's just say you're open-minded and you come in and you're not voting their way. They don't confirm you, and then you're fired. And basically, Senate confirmation is only to keep the governor from being able to fire the commissioner. So this now gives them more power. So they get to have their cake and eat it, too. So basically, they got their thumb on you, and you don't like it, you're fired. House Bill 1653 establishes another third party. And what it does is it starts with another third party, and I think this one has the cabinet in it. So another third party that overrides the commission and the salmon policy. They're all vying, trying to take the power away from the commission. They want the director under them. And, you know, no matter how all the verbiage you see here, it's all a direct attack to take over WDFW. The last one, the fourth one, House Bill 2707 establishes a new task force. And it's going to restructure the commission and probably remove them in WDFW. Again, it's another third party over the top. We got a third party already, and that's NOAA.
Yep.
So all we need, this is what I want to say, the most important thing on HSRG, when we removed it, it never needed to be there in the first place. The treaties say between the tribes and the state is what has to happen. And HSRG was forced in by Congress. And they lobbied Congress very hard, the people of HSRG back then, and they got it through. And it hasn't worked. So we got it removed. And one thing, just to make this really clear and easy to understand, is that follow the money.
Yep.
You want to see how these things work. This cut a bunch of money, so when these people get this done, it's a perpetual funding machine that they never have to go back for money because it automatically comes back to them. So we need nothing more than the Endangered Species Act, which sets criteria on our salmon, and the hatchery genetic management plans that allow what can happen in these river systems. That's all we need. We don't need another constraint called HSRG to come in and put their constraints on it to kill our hatchery production. And that's exactly what's happened. And they're coming back with a vengeance. So we need everybody to go to PugetSoundAnglers.org, read them. The bill's in there. You can click on and read the bill for yourself. Then there's the link where you can click and comment. We need everybody to comment on these bills. Everybody. This is your hunting and fishing up right now are up for, under Science for Hire.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You got a bunch of scientific hired guns that want to, you know, sink their teeth into the trough and make money off of this, and because there's no money in recovered salmon stocks, okay? But while the salmon stocks have problems, there's going to be funding available both on a state and federal level. If this is not a plan that saves money, this is not a plan that does anything but grabs power away from the citizens that can talk to the commission, and the commissioners act on that and implement plans, and they direct the director. When you take the commission out of this process, it's one of the big checks and balances on power in Olympia. And Ron, you know as well as I do that if you get WDFW under the auspices of the Department of Natural Resources, and Hillary France is a elected official, then the governor himself has plausible deniability. Well, that's not under, but that's under somebody else's.
Well, and management of our fish and wildlife becomes a popularity contest,
yeah,
at that point.
Good
and
call.
We're going to lose. There's just not as many anglers and hunters out there, especially, and that's where I'm really worried about the hunting community and all the hunting we do here in Washington. That's going to be the first thing on the chopping block, because if they look at the scoreboard, of course, we're going to have this many calls against it and this many calls for it, and they're just going to go this way because that's how it works in Olympia, and our legislators are going to be making all the decisions that they have no business making if
and
this goes down.
They are not us. They are not anglers, you know, hunters.
No.
They want this control so they can basically gut us.
Yeah.
We won't be hunting anymore
in
this state. So people better get on board
and let's not forget the governor's salmon strategy. You need to let the governor know too. You need to go and write into the governor, and you need to let him know you're unhappy because his salmon strategy puts a third party, the Washington Academy of Sciences, right back on top of everything. And what you mentioned about the other groups, if they're not on board, this is one of the biggest things that I've had a problem with, is the lobbyist for HSRG is one of the top people they go to for advice.
Yeah.
And he's a very smart man.
So,
but it's terrible.
Before the show started, Robbo and I, when Noah was trying to shut down the west side of San Juan Island, We sat in front of a public meeting giving testimony to
Ron was down there.
Ron, you were on there.
We're down.
Yeah, that's right, Ron. So do you remember? Do you remember the purse seiner that stood up and said, "Hey, Noah, look, you've created a consensus amongst the sport fishermen and the tours group,
all the commercial fishermen,
fishermen. Look at Do you think you're wrong? So now Olympia, well, in proposing these bills, you've created the potential for a pretty strong coalition between the tribes and the sportsmen of the state of Washington, because our tribal co-managers are not in favor of any of these bills either. I think it's fair to say, Ron.
Yeah, they're working with us right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of people can't see the trees because of the forest, because we have fought on a lot of different avenues together. The HSRG, we would have never got done without the tribes, and Lorraine Loomis stepped in and helped us do this. And Justin Parker, who is the executive director of Northwest Indian Fisheries Commission, and right now we're working side by side on these to kill these bills. We have a joint hatchery policy being made as we speak, and I think HSRG is terrified of it. We need to hurry and get that done. We brought the tribes and we brought the commission together to work on these bills. And, of course, that's always very tough because there's two views on everything. But they are working together on this, and we need to get this hatchery science review group completely removed once and for all and have this new hatchery policy, which is going to be river by river on what you can do. I mean, why wouldn't we want to put out the ultimate amount of hatchery production allowed by ESA and hatchery genetic management plans? That's all we have to fall under, and that's what we should be pushing for. And so we need to get this policy done, let it finish its course, and be finalized. And that's what they're trying to do, is circumvent this before this gets there.
And we don't pound on our listeners for much, but I'm Robbo, and Joey and I and Ron are asking listeners to go to PugetSoundAnglers.org. Just do it right now. It's a couple clicks away. Click on the voter voice and let your voice be heard, because this is nothing short of a power grab that's not in the best interest of the citizens of the state of Washington, right? Natural resources are the property of every citizen in the state. And this gives total say-so over WDFW and a lot of other issues, takes the public's voice away from it, for sure. Ron,
gives it to politicians.
Ron, thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it, and keep fighting, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for helping us help ourselves. Yeah. We got to do this, and this is very serious. Don't just go and start washing dishes or go mow your lawn. Go do this right now.
No, nobody's mowing today, Lon. Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Have a great weekend, man.
All right, buddy.
You too.
Talk to you soon. All right, once again, go to PugetSoundAnglers.org and click on a voter voice, because this is dirty business.
All we need is big government managing our
We need more government in our hunting and fishing.
I'm not sure if that's ever fixed anything.
And we're getting a bunch of texts in here. How do we help, Ron? Just again, go to PugetSoundAnglers.org, click on that voter voice, let your voice be heard. All right, coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See ya.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
Tom Sakamoto over at Three Rivers Marine in Woodinville said the steelhead fishing is still solid at Wallace and Reeder on the Skycomish and also at Tokel Creek over on the Snoqualmie. Tom said Tokel is still kicking out some fresh hatchery steelhead, and surprisingly, there's been some wild steelhead coming out of both rivers as well. Tom said B&R Softbeads and Mad River Beads fish under a BOMAC float have both been producing the best results lately. Said there was a giant steelhead estimated at around 28 pounds that an angler released on the Snoqualmie a few days ago. Anglers have through January 31st to target steelhead in the North Sound Rivers before they close down for the winter.
While steelhead pushing into coastal creeks, guides Bill Meyer and Mike Zavadlo were both busy with trips in the Forks area rivers yesterday, and they had the same good report. Bill and Mike both said there's a few nice winter steelhead coming into rivers around Forks right now, and with the water on the drop, they have high hopes for solid steelhead. And over the weekend, the lower Kalawa and Bogusheel rivers can both be fished from a boat, but the nearby Sawduck is under bank fishing only regulations. Despite all the new regs, both guides are busy running guided trips for steelhead from now through the end of March as the season wraps up. Jigs and beads under a float have been the go-to setup lately, and fishing should only get better as that wild run continues to build.
Governor Jay Inslee just issued an emergency order that directs the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife to implement measures to eradicate or prevent European green crabs from settling in here. Green crabs are an invasive species that prey on other crab, clams, and scallops. Their numbers have grown exponentially here in Puget Sound the last few years, and if left unchecked, they could wipe out many species of native crab and shellfish here. Olympia designated $8.9 million toward the efforts to combat the green crab invasion.
Duck hunters have just two more weekends to hunt waterfowl in Washington. With the season running through January 30th, there's some opportunity to hunt snow geese in some units in February and even early March. For ducks, the end of the season is coming quickly, though. Here on the west side, the duck hunting has been solid after the Christmas snowstorm pushed thousands of northern birds into the area. Eastern Washington has had its ups and downs with the cold weather, but overall, the duck hunting has been quite good on the east side as well.
Razor clammers get a break. Razor clam diggers get a little time off the beach to sight in their clam guns and patch up the hip boots for the rest of their rest of the season. Klamen closed yesterday in the Washington coast. We'll reopen again on January 29th with the next scheduled dig running through February 3rd. There's limited digging at all four beaches this next round of dig. Of course, that limit's dropped down to 15 clams a day. Jump on the WDFW website for more information about the upcoming razor clam openings and limits.
A 98-page Senate bill is making its way through the legislature in Olympia right now that would place the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife under the Department of Natural Resources and strip the Fish and Wildlife Commission of its authority. The Fish and Wildlife Commission would be turned into an advisory board, and a state Fish and Wildlife Commissioner would vote on all and any issues related to fish and wildlife management in the state. It's Senate Bill 5721, and it's sponsored by Democrats Jesse Solomon and Kevin Vandewedge. The bill would essentially politicize fish and wildlife management in Washington and would marginalize input from consumptive groups like anglers and hunters that pay the bills through their license sales. If you're enjoying hunting and fishing in Washington, you definitely want to contact your local legislator and tell them to vote this piece of bad legislation down.
The 75th anniversary of the Seattle Boat Show is coming up February 4th through the 12th at Lumen Field in Seattle. Hundreds of boats will be on display indoors at Lumen Field. There's additional boats to float over at Bell Harbor Marina at the Port of Seattle. In addition to every make of watercraft imaginable, attendees have the opportunity to interact with hundreds of companies that supply accessories for boats of all kinds. There's fun daily activities at the boat show and the opportunity to attend countless fishing and boating seminars. Folks can also purchase a pass for $99 to view the seminars online, where they are recorded and available for up to 3 months after the show. For more information on or to purchase tickets, log on to seattleboatshow.com.
The Western Washington Sportsman Show is also coming up February 2nd through the 6th at the Western Washington Fairgrounds in Puyallup. It's the largest outshore of its kind in Washington, and attendees can visit with countless outfitters, fishing guides, manufacturers, experts in the industry. Well-known hunter Andy Renewberg will be on hand to answer your hunting questions, and the guys from Addicted Fishing will be debuting their feature film, The King's Return, on the Friday night of the show. You can find more information about the Western Washington Sportsman Show at thesportshows.com.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Half Lion Brewing Company. Experience the rugged luxury of real beer at halflion.com.
Also, late news last night, the Nooksack will reopen for steelhead as well. They got enough hatchery steelhead back to the Kendall Creek Hatchery to reopen the Nooksack up there. So, you just got till the end of the month, but at least it's something for the guys up there, and there will be some tanker wild fish in that Nooksack.
There will be, dude. Yeah. And that fires me up as much as the numbers we're hearing about is the individual size of some of these fish. And it just speaks to the rebound in oceanic conditions that may just help.
Maybe
stand
we
us
get steelheading back.
Let's fight to get every day on the water. All right. If you can't get on the water, you can get down to the Lumen Field Event Center February 4th through the 12th. George Harris, president of the NMTA, the fine folks, to bring us the Seattle Boat Show. Joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Yeah, pretty appropriate to have this next gentleman in our wheelhouse here this morning. It's none other than George Harris, president of the Northwest Marine Trade Association. Brings us every year, of course, except for last year, the Seattle In-Person Boat Show. Morning, George.
Morning, George.
Morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I like that introduction. In person.
In person.
I know, man. Exciting. I can't wait to get down there and walk the red carpet and smell all that fiberglass and all that the new boat smell.
New
and
motor
the
smell.
Field. I know, the new outboards. Mm. What's going on at the show, man? I know you got a lot of exciting stuff lined up for the boat show coming up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm fired up. We're 13 days out, and we're going to stage close to 700 boats starting next week, get them into the building, and with our being our 75th anniversary, really amazing history the show has had. I have not done all 75 shows, but you go back to 1947.
Tom's done them all.
But okay, I'm a second generation Seattle boat shower. Yeah. Okay, my dad actually bought the boat I grew up on in the first Seattle boat show. So I'm sorry, Robbo. I'm sorry, Robbo interrupted.
I know. I know. Tom's done more shows than me, but. 1947, we had 13 marine businesses, North Lake Union, come together for a tax issue down in Olympia. Believe it or not, they didn't like.
No.
They came together on that. And then they said, hey, this is a pretty good idea working together. Let's have a boat show. And it's been really fun to reminisce with some of our, forefathers of the association and what the spirit was like back in 47 and the 50s and whatnot. But, it was really a post-World War II thing, The maritime community in the Northwest was all about the war, and then they were pivoting rapidly to recreational boating. And there was just a lot of excitement about recreational boating, that spirit. You know, you think about all the change that was happening then, you know, wood to fiberglass, mm-hmm. you know, the technology or the evolution of motors and whatnot. So the show grew really, really quickly. And here we are 75 years later, and we got a nice history display of all the different venues we've been at over the years, you know, the Armory, the Coliseum, the Kingdom. So nice history. The Antique and Classic Boat Society will have a nice display at the show, a little bigger than normal, with 10 boats that kind of show history of boating across the decades. And then we've got a lot of our classic activities. You know, the seminars, of course, Tom, you're a big part of that. We've got 72 boating and fishing seminars, and then we've got our 19 long format boat show university classes, and carrying forward what we did last year virtually, all of the seminars are being recorded. So you can watch them at home. If you can't make it to the show, or can make it to the show only one day and you want to rewatch something, we have a $99 ticket where you can rewatch all of the seminars for up to 3 months after the show. And that also includes a 9-day ticket to the show, a Boat US basic membership, and then the Wagoner Cruising Guide, the 2022 version of that. So fired up, looking forward to it.
Well, of course, we love all the fishing seminars and the shell fishing seminars and all the crabbing stuff down there, but there are a lot of new boaters. I mean, we've drug a lot of people into the boating industry through COVID. A lot of folks are buying boats and running around out there in the Sound, and I think it's very important that they attend some of these boating classes. I mean, yeah, you've got a Tides and Currents class, you've got a weather seminar, radio basics. Like, how do you even monitor the other channels on your radio, the weather channels? How do you use your radio? How do you operate your boat? How do you dock? How do you tie up? All this stuff. I think it's awesome. I mean, all these boating seminars are super cool. Pacific Northwest Hazards and Marine Forecasts. How do you read the Marine Forecasts and tell where to go, where to hide, all that stuff? Very valuable information at the boat show, buddy, through Boating University, right?
Yeah, you nailed it, Rob. We've got a lot of folks that are returning to boating, you know, mm-hmm. folks that grew up doing it, and for whatever reason they got away from it, and then they've returned to it in the last 18 months or so, and then brand new people getting into boating. You know, a lot of increase in all areas of outdoor recreation right now. So, you know, the boat show, I think sometimes for new boaters, you know, what is a boat show? Is it a bunch of boats doing tricks? No, it's a place where the community comes together, and it's yes, there's a lot of boats and accessories for sale, but the education is a huge part of it. And I'm really proud to say that we have the most complete education curriculum of any boat show in the country, period. Really proud of that.
So the only thing I'm really disappointed in is the fact that you brought golf into the boating show. Now. You got this long putt. What is this? You can't eat birdies and eagles and stuff like that. You do have some really fun gateway activities. But you know, Joey and I are coming in for Dogs on Deck. But run through some of the special events and special days that you've got going on here this year, George.
Yeah. So our friend Tony Floor has teased me many times, George. You can't play a golf ball. So what's the good of it? But there are a lot of boaters that like to play golf and go. Excuse me, we're going to have some fun with that with the USS Open. We're bringing in a mini golf putt-putt course, and then we're going to have something called the Long Putt Challenge where you can sink a 38-foot putt for some fun prizes. And then we're going to do our classic opening night uncorked event sponsored by Basta Boat Lifts where we do our wine tasting. And then the second Friday is our classic Sails and Ales. We've been doing those for 10 years now. People love them. And so Uncork, Sails and Ales. And then you mentioned Dogs on Deck. That was something we brought into the show in 2020. It was just a blast seeing all the happy boaters bringing their dogs into the show. And there's a photo booth for them. And the best looking dog in the photo booth can end up on the cover of 48 North magazine. We've got a 2-for-1 promotion on Monday. And then also got Women's Day. So on Monday of the show, women could go to our website and get into the show for free.
The classic boat display, some super cool old boats, a 1948 20-foot custom Chris Craft. You know when you're like you're putting out at Everett and you see like just a pristine, redone, yeah. beautiful old yeah. boat? I mean, and if you're a boater, that's just cool stuff.
You got to respect
you
that, dude.
A 1952 17-foot Chris Craft special runabout. That's just cool stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I listen, I'm going to go for that. Watson's going to win.
I'm taking him
to the groomers, yes. Get him all fluffed up and ready.
I'm getting Libby off the couch. She's going to give Watson a run
Dude,
for his money.
Never.
Yep.
Watson's got it in the bag.
So all three of us, George, are just, you know, hopeless boatheads, right? And so I enjoy walking around, and Joey and I have done this as well, is walk around to all the different boat manufacturers, particularly, you know, in our range of boats, you know, the 18 to 32 foot range and of fiberglass and aluminum and everything, and just look at the other manufacturers' solutions to the problems and challenges that being on the water presents. And this is everybody's best opportunity to get exactly the right kind of boat. Come into the boat show with an idea of what you're going to do on the water, because that's going to help everybody in these booths help you. And George, I know you take that pretty seriously as well. I mean, you want the folks to come in there to come out with a good experience and the right kind of boat for their style of fun on the water.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes we might take for granted where we live and play, you know, here in the Northwest, but we have so many fantastic boat builders right here in the Northwest that are really leading the way for the nation. And, you know, in 2020, we sold tickets in all 50 states. So there are folks that want to come out and look at, you know, I like to call them our boats and how we do boating out here, and take their boats back to where they're from, take these boats back to where they're from. So you're absolutely right. These manufacturers, these dealers are bringing their A game in 14 days, and it's just going to be a blast. And going to have, I think if I counted it last, it's 140 different brands of boats on display. We should be a little over 700 different boats on display. Really proud of it.
And you guys are going to have some boats on the water that people can jump on and check out. And that, listen, if you're going to buy a boat, you got to get on the water.
Amen.
You got to test out a bunch of different boats, get behind the steering wheel, see how they feel, how they ride. That's, you know, that's one of the
dude, never buy a
the
boat
most
off
important
a
thing is get in some boats, get in some different boats, see what works for you.
Yeah, we'll just be down the street at Port of Seattle's Bell Harbor Marina. It's about a mile. You can walk, or we've got shuttle buses running continuously from 1 hour before the show opens to 1 hour after it closes. And right across the street from Bell Harbor is the second largest parking garage in Seattle. And you can park right there for $5, walk across the street, hop on the shuttle, go to Lumen, or check out the boats at Bell Harbor Marina.
He's George Harris, and it's the Boat Show, the Big Seattle Boat Show, February 4th through the 12th, Lumen Event Center. Log on to seattleboatshow.com. George, thank you very much. We'll see you on February 4th, buddy.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, George. Have a great weekend, man. Thanks for taking
Thanks,
the time.
George.
All right.
Coming up next, the hottest report we've heard all week, the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? And it's next during the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
It's coming back. The island is tinny and delayed.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
It's time for you to head on up to the number one Winnebago dealer in the entire Pacific Northwest, Roy Robinson RV Center, up in Smoky Point, 15855 Smoky Point Boulevard. Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
We really need to hit on some steelhead fishing techniques here. We just mentioned it briefly a little bit ago. The kind of the bright spot here in the North Sound's been we've had some great returns of hatchery steelhead back to these creeks. Tocal in particular, the Tocal Creek Hatchery has had just a killer return of hatchery steelhead. Skycomish just reopened the Nooksack for hatchery steelhead. The Steely's got some fish in it.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about some techniques and some of really the new kind of stuff we've been using the last few years here. In regards to the beads, everybody's fishing these beads now, soft beads, even some of the hard beads. I was talking to Sakamoto yesterday over at Three Rivers Marine. He's like, yeah, they're buying the heck out of these Mad River beads as well. So let's kind of drill down on some of that because folks want to get out here. The weather's going to be perfect for steelhead fishing the rest of the season. We don't have a whole lot of rain in the forecast here for this next week.
You're going to get Joey to talk about not fishing bait.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, okay. He's going there right
well,
now.
Well, so look, I'm going to be fishing tomorrow on a river where we can't fish bait.
Right. Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm going to be running worms on jig heads. Mm-hmm. We had the Addicted guys on last week, and they have some killer worms. a lot of guys now are just running those things on a jig.
Well, they've got a worm keeper jig. So
worm
it's got a little
jig.
Barb,
it's got a little barb on it.
Yeah, used to have to take a little zip tie and put a little tiny zip tie on there to hold your worm on. Now you can run this thing.
And they come in a ton of different colors.
Yeah.
It's like the easiest way to fish for steelhead. You throw that jig on, 2 to 3 feet a leader, depending on water clarity. I like using those Bomac, the little weights that, you know, you tie your
inline
on,
weights. They have a swivel on the top, swivel on the bottom. And the cool thing about the Bomac weights, you can get them to match your float size.
Yeah.
Okay, so you match your jig and your weight to the float size.
We call that ballasting the float.
Yeah, so if you get a 3/4 ounce float, you get a 1/2 ounce sinker and a 1/4 ounce jig. It all matches up. It floats perfectly.
And for new steelhead fishermen, you're gonna lose a lot of gear if you go with traditional old drift style gear.
Yeah.
But this is something that you can do. And look, you can fish 8 feet of water and be fishing your jig at 3 feet. Some of these wild fish that are in now, they're aggressive. They're gonna move to that jig, and you could fish all day the same setup and not lose any gear. You know.
Yeah, you're not going to lose much gear. What you really want to do, you want to test the bottom. What I would tell folks to do, and I guided on these rivers, so I always knew kind of what the depth was. But if you haven't been there before, run it through a little deeper. If it drags a little bit, just adjust
it
a little bit. And if you're a foot off the bottom, you're perfect. Then the steelhead don't have to move.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to run it right by their face. They can move over 6 inches, grab that sucker, and it's hammer time, you know. So, and if the float goes down, reel into them, set the hook, and you got to fish on. You're not losing gear all day. I mean, we used to just tie. All we did was tie gear on, you know. And then you're littering the bottom with lead and jigs and corkies and everything else that we used to throw in there. The float fishing deal is so easy.
Remember, we used to buy boxes of 1,000 hooks.
Oh, for sure.
And grind through them during the course of the year.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Double bait holder rigs. And seriously, dude.
The other
500 freaking liters for a
bobber dog and soft beads.
Well, it's so easy, and you've got these stick weights now. And again, Bomac makes them to match right up with your float. So these stick weights go right through the rocks. They don't hardly ever get snagged. And Joe, you know how to rig up those soft beads with a stick weight. Kind of run through that really quick and get people dialed in.
So you're gonna tie those your leaders up. You're gonna snell your leaders. I like to run like a smaller hook, like a 2, or a 1.
Yep.
And then they have these little bead keepers, and that's going to keep your bead about 1.5 to 2 inches above your hook. You don't want it right down on it because they'll grab onto that bead, and if the hook's right there, it pops right out of their mouth, right? So you're going to leave a little bit of space. They're going to come up and grab that bead, get them right in the side of the mouth. And then
– did you hear that?
Yeah.
Right in the
side
of the mouth.
That's the noise it makes. Yeah. I've heard it. Yeah.
Again, depending on the depth of the water, you want to be dragging that stick weight through. So, if you're fishing 8 feet of water, you want to be probably running about 10, 11 feet of line between your weight and your float.
One of the most satisfying things about steelheading, though, is
when he talks really soft.
Mentally breaking.
We're either going to eat a steelhead right now, or are we going back to salmon fishing?
It's going into the brine.
The salmon's going into the brine.
It's heading into the smoker.
You're
going to
eat some of that right now. No, here's the thing, though. It's the art of reading water, and you just alluded to it because you're talking about depth and everything like that. But you know, in your mind's eye, you're breaking down all these runs, and that's why it's just so satisfying to be on a river like that and think, okay, there's a slot. There it is, right there. And you know, it's you don't think about it, but you're subconsciously doing it. Reading water is the basic fundamental of steelhead fishing.
And the gist of it is walking speed water.
Yep.
And that may be when the river's up, it might be right on that inside corner. And as the river drops and drops and drops, it could be on the other side of the river. But that's kind of the gist of it. Try to find that walking speed water.
Yep.
And with some big cobbles on the bottom, that's where those steelhead are going to hold. And if you can find water, no matter where it is, and it can be inside, outside, wherever it is.
But what do you typically see with those big cobbles down there, too? You see a little bit of broken surface.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, a little chop.
Yeah, a little chop.
Yeah.
A little chop right there. And keep in mind that chop mutes light transmission down into the river as well, because you know they're not going to be in the shallowest part. If you can see the rocks, that's not where the steelhead are going to be. So right away, when you step in a creek, you can rule out 90% of the water around you for as far as where the fish will hold. But that's just one of the most endlessly fascinating and satisfying aspects, is identifying a piece of water that there could be a steelhead in, and then getting your arm about removed.
And then you know.
Yeah,
the first time you catch a fish in a piece of water, you know, okay, that's where they want to be.
That's where they are.
And there might be, it might all be nice water, but there's going to be one, like, 5-foot section
yep.
where that's where those fish hold.
Well, and I was just going through this in my mind. So you got a big piece of really fast water with a big boulder out in the middle of the river.
Yeah.
And right behind that boulder, it's all roily, boily, and whatever. And then just about 5 to 10 feet downstream of it, boom, you got about an 8-foot stretch
slick.
Of what? Walking speed water.
Yep.
And
yep.
boom, they're going to be sitting right there.
Right
you throw
there.
That float in there and work it right through there. Hold that rod up high, get all your line off the water, and they're going to be right in there. The other thing you can do is run a jig with a bead dropper. A lot of guys are doing that right now. And the fact of the matter is, they almost always hit the bead, you know. They'll eat the jig once in a while, but that bead just gets chowed. And, it's, you know, they're running 10 millimeter to 14. Honestly, the guys on the coast
crazy.
Are running 20 millimeter beads.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like the size
golf
of a
ball.
Golf ball,
yep.
you know. Yeah. So, anyway, super fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're addicted to steelhead fishing.
Oh, man.
We've been
this
doing
is so
it forever.
Much fun.
And, I just get fired
now,
up.
If I we had somebody ask about the Wallace or particularly
the Reeder.
Look, if I'm up there, I'm fishing sand shrimp under a float
yep.
on a jig, and I've tied these little jigs with a band on them. You can kind of snug that sand shrimp up into the marabou. Super effective, or drift fishing, or bobber dogging sand shrimp.
You can put a little piece of prawn on your jig, too, which
yep.
is great.
Yeah. yeah. And
but, you know, we never really get to talk about the differences between targeting hatchery fish and targeting wild fish in the streams, And that's the deal. When we're at one of our terminal areas and it's legal to fish bait, you know, I would encourage guys absolutely to do so. But you know, it in this day and age, I mean, it's more about where you're fishing and what's legal to use. But I always used to feel so absolutely undergunned. And I didn't use the word naked, Robbo, for you know
Thank
your
you.
Sensibilities.
Yeah.
But no, if I didn't have bait, because
yeah.
we always use bait.
Sure.
But now there's so many of the, you know, BNR is leading the way a lot with these, you know, specific poured worms and, you know, little steelhead scampies and stuff that you know, are great looking. I mean, you just showed us a rig that you tied up that I wish I would have had back in the wood sled days because, you know, I mean, it would have saved my entire summer. Because, dude, we used to, every Chinook we used to get, man, we're putting the eggs up. We're making
freezers. Oh, putting
them.
Up eggs, man.
Freezers,
always putting up eggs.
Freezers full of
yeah.
eggs.
Little
yeah.
egg burritos.
Oh,
I had
yeah.
stacks
yes.
of them in the freezer.
Yes.
I put up 200-300 pounds of eggs a
yeah.
year just
yeah.
to get through the winter. You
well,
know?
And for guys who are looking for rigging suggestions, go to Addicted or go to BNR
yep.
Softbeats. Go to their website. They have it all right there. They have videos.
Yeah.
They'll
yeah.
run you through the whole program. Here, what about line, like leader line? So, you know, watercolor up. You can bump it up to 15-pound test
mm-hmm.
easily.
Mm-hmm.
You can run mono. But
yeah.
then as that watercolor starts to drop and it gets clearer and clearer, I would always go to fluoro
mm-hmm.
and I would go light. I would break more fish off than I would land, but
you get bit.
You get bit,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It, that's one thing about steelhead fishing is you'll see the guys who are catching fish. It's because they're doing those little things.
Yes.
That,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And I was just going to say something like that because if you are fishing, you know, at a Reeder or the mouth of Wallace or anything, you're going to see other guys and they're going to catch fish. And your job is to reverse engineer their success.
Oh, yeah. Go
Where,
go sidle up to that dude.
Sidle. You
yeah.
got to be a – Joey's a great sidler. He,
sidle up
he
next to him.
Sidled up to the guys at Bickford
I
Trailers
spent,
yesterday.
I spent years
you know?
Of my life at Reeder as a young kid.
right.
Listen, I,
would, sidler.
I saw the guys who were catching fish. I'd worm my
You'd
little
sneak your way right
little,
in there, wouldn't you?
You know, I was a short little
right in their hip pocket right
I'd,
there.
I'd weasel my way right in there, and I would watch everything that guy yeah. did. And pretty soon, you know, you learn stuff.
And you do.
And, next
and
thing you know
yeah,
I'm catching
sure.
fish.
And yeah. I mean, and Joey yeah. does it to this day with the you know with the binos on the boat too. You know, looking mm-hmm. at other guys on the saltwater and seeing and you know seeing what they're into.
Oh, trust me, Southeast
yeah.
Alaska with
yeah.
my eyes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if a boat turns
oh,
sideways up there, I'm like.
Yeah.
And then I see the net come out. Like, why are they drifting sideways? They just kicked the boat sideways.
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Yeah.
Oh, they're
yeah.
catching fish. Oh,
yeah.
they're sideways again. Oh,
yeah.
they're sideways again. Okay,
that's,
we're going over there.
Yeah, it's a bit. It's a big part of my,
yeah.
you know, my deal. I
yeah.
like checking out dudes on the water.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Anyway, so let's
All
get
right.
to the last part of waterfowl season coming up here too.
Yes.
We got well just through January 30th to
right.
chase some ducks here
yep.
statewide. You got a little bit of bonus. Snow goose season later on. That's why we had to close it early on so we could get some of these days in February and March. But you just got to the end of the season here through the 30th. So get out and get some duck hunting in before it closes. We got some Rufus Woods trout being caught on
yeah,
the east side. Also, there's
some
still
big,
planting.
Some big ones, too.
Oh, for sure. Some tankers. Austin sent in pictures of 15,
yep.
16, 17-pounders over there. And we got winter trout ops, too, still on the west side. We got a great weather window here this week to get out and chase some trout here on the west side. So
log on to Austin's NorthwestAdventures.com. He's got a couple windows up and Sitka, Alaska, and those are going to get booked. Come the boat show, I promise you. They're the end of May, and that's one of my favorite times to be in Southeast. So get up on there and log on to fishbaronoff.com and do that too. I honestly feel that we had one of the most potentially impactful segments that we've ever had on the radio show earlier this hour with Ron Garner. If you missed the 7 o'clock segment, please go back and grab the podcast. Matthew will have it up here pretty quick. But basically, we are getting sold down the river by our legislature here and the four disgusting bills that just hit the legislature. Log on to PugetSoundAnglers.org and educate yourself to the point at which our natural resources are being taken from us and our any say into the use of our game and our hunting and our fishing and everything else is being stripped from us. Our ability to influence what's going on in WDFW is through the Wildlife Commission. The commission is about ready to be neutered, and the Department of Washington Fish and Wildlife is going to be dumped into the Department of Natural Resources, which gives the governor cover to do whatever he wants with WDFW. Please help us stop this disgusting power grab in Olympia by logging on to PugetSoundAnglers.org and entering into the voter voice and let your voice be heard. Missed any of the show, jump on MyNorthwest.com, download that iTunes podcast app and get them there. Log on to theoutdoorline.com. Follow us on social media at Joey Pyburn on Instagram, at Rob Ensley, at The Outdoor Line on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. For Matt Nelson running the board, for Rob Ensley, Joey Pyburn, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.